When you look around Memphis, what jumps out first? The flaws or the flavor? Could the city be more beautiful than most people even realize? Today in our five-part series, City of Grit, reporter Christopher Blank tells us that what some people think of as blight is also a part of our unique character.
Beauty and ugliness are highly subjective terms. They also have an ancient history. So how does Memphis stand up to classical notions of beauty? I visited curator Stanton Thomas at the Brooks Museum.
Welcome.
Where are we headed?
Well, you mentioned classical beauty.
We look at a popular painting of a little girl. She's lost at the foot of a rugged cliff.
She's shown in a rather dirty setting, but immaculately dressed, perfect skin, no dirt on her, no scratches or anything.
Clean versus dirty. Some people might recognize a city of similar contrast. We move into a room of religious art, and I wonder if we've made a wrong turn.
There's a lot of pain and suffering in the Christian tradition.
You know, there's lots of pain and suffering in Christian tradition, but a lot of times in the Christian tradition, pain and suffering is beautiful. It becomes one of the standards of great art.
There's a painting of St. Francis, and rays of light are shooting out of a nasty wound in his side.
Showing how suffering here has been elevated into something beautiful and profound.
Okay, I get it. Beauty in suffering, I mean, that's the blues right there. But what about old-fashioned romantic beauty?
You want to go look at romance? Yeah. I will show you romance.
Thomas shows me a calm pastoral scene.
What we're looking at is a shot of the hillside where you can see some of the ancient ruins of Tivoli. And you'll notice there's a blasted tree, something that's been perhaps struck by lightning and has fallen over.
Why isn't this a painting of blight?
No, really. Suffering, ruined buildings, neglect, unmowed lawns. When it's in the Brooks Museum, beauty is blight. When you step outside, it's, well, let's ask the experts.
To me, a beautiful city means one that is litter-free, clean, aesthetically pleasing with landscaped areas.
That's Eldra White with Memphis City Beautiful. And here's Cecile Carson with Keep America Beautiful.
A clean, green, and beautiful place to live.
The most common answer I got on civic beauty was best expressed by Mayor Jim Strickland.
Wow. Philosophical question there.
He's right. So I found a philosopher.
Figuring out what's beautiful depends on knowing what properties make something beautiful.
Lavelle Anderson teaches aesthetic philosophy at the University of Memphis. He says that one school of beauty favors orderliness or standards of taste.
One person's orderliness is another person's boring and another person's chaos.
Could universal standards go against who we are as a diverse city?
Our ideas of beauty and ugliness largely depend on, you know, socioeconomic group, our racial identity, national identities, perhaps.
So maybe there's beauty in Memphis, just not in a tidy Western European package. For Paul Thomas, an artist in Orange Mound who makes sculptures out of litter, beauty isn't about looks at all.
Beauty is the transformation of a community spirit.
Transformation is one promise of the city's Blight Elimination Charter, a comprehensive plan to deal with our epidemic of vacant and abandoned buildings. And it's true that ugly places are generally bad. They create crime, lower property values, but they also factor into the fundamental aesthetic doctrine of Memphis, which can be summed up on a t-shirt.
It's just all hard. Grit, grind.
Or by basketball player Tony Allen. So how does a city's ugliness add to its beauty?
We're at a hospital, an old hospital. As far as I know, it was for teenagers.
Bill Simmers is a photographer and urban explorer. So is Carla McDonald.
It's been abandoned for a very long time, but it looked like they left in a hurry.
We are creeping around trespassing in an old medical facility off Lamar Avenue. As Simmers puts it about being in here,
all the rules are gone.
Like the scenery in a zombie movie, an office wall calendar is frozen on September 2012. Carts of medical supplies are loaded with bandages. Some beds are still made. Otherwise, this building's been ransacked. And then a guy by the name of Pacer arrives.
There's nothing like walking into an abandoned building and trying to find, like, the wall that you're going to place your piece on. Like, that's that wall that I'm going to piece right there.
He's a street artist, one of the many who have turned this building into an art gallery of vandalism.
Graffiti and spray paint in general on different objects around the city really show a character of the city that we live in.
He's not wrong about that. Think of all those murals popping up around Memphis. Most of those artists started off in places like this. Pacer says that Memphis should flaunt its tattoos. McDonald agrees.
This represents Memphis. It does, like it or not.
Simmers and McDonald both say that visual grit is a calling card. Craig Brewer puts it in his movies, and high school seniors want it in their yearbook photos.
Like, parents love it. If you have their kid in some kind of apocalypse-looking thing, and they just love it.
Street cred for kids who don't have any.
The romance of Blight is probably better than the reality of it. But with a building boom downtown, revived areas like Overton Square, and citywide beautification efforts, those seniors may one day look at their photos and wonder what happened to that Memphis. For WKNO News, I'm Christopher Blank.
Join us tomorrow for the fourth installment of our series, City of Grit, when we look at the impact of big data on Memphis's plan to eliminate blight. See more on the web at wknofm.org.